We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to the final episode of the House of Hoosier podcast in the year 2023, brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. I'm Austin Platt. Alongside me is Ben Holler. Ben, how you doing? How were your holidays? And did you get anything better than coal in your stocking?
Yeah, I got a few things better than coal. It is cold out here, though, and I know I can't complain too much with you being up in Connecticut right now. It's probably a little worse where you are right now than me here in Southern Ohio. Santa was decently nice to me this year. What about you?
Yeah, no, Santa came and definitely delivered some goodies as he has the last few years. So, hey, another year off the naughty list. And for the Indiana Hoosiers, well, they have basically escaped the non-conference play. Not quite on the naughty list. They got close a few times. That Morehead State game a few weeks ago, whatever it was, 10 days ago, was one that definitely had all of us biting our nails. But the Hoosiers looked much better against Northern Alabama last week and are getting prepared for their final non-conference test against Kennesaw State. That game is tonight when you are watching this at 6 o'clock. Get your Big Ten Plus subscriptions because it's going to be needed for just one more time this season. But we're here to kind of just go over the non-conference schedule. I know it's been the holiday season. Obviously, we're not in school anymore. Semester is over, so just want to hop on here and quickly give out some grades, look ahead to Big Ten play, which begins just a little less than a week from now, just after the new year. The Hoosiers will head to Lincoln, Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers, a team that has definitely surprised some people. But Ben, you know, the last time we talked was before the Kansas game, obviously a tough loss, and maybe that translated over to that Morehead State game where the Hoosiers definitely deserve to lose, but I guess they kind of are ending things probably, you would hope, on the right foot with a solid win over North Alabama, a blowout win, which was much needed, and a game tonight against Kennesaw State, which they should handle, a team that didn't make the tournament last year.
Well, it's interesting because this is something we've talked about so much with this Indiana season. I know people are probably tired of talking about it, but it has just been one of the biggest storylines has been just that three-point shooting. And that was one of the biggest differences in that Morehead State game in North Alabama. And just overall, before that North Alabama game, when you don't shoot a ton of threes and you're not getting a ton of point production from the three-point line, it's harder to blow teams out, and it's harder to get that kind of cushion that you should against teams like Morehead State. Now, a little different. Not only was Morehead State not the cushion they wanted, they were down by, 13, 15 with 9 minutes left to go. So I think that's one of the biggest things that's contributed to it. Morehead State just figured Indiana's offense out a little bit, and they figured out that if you can limit the scoring down low into the post, it's going to be hard for Indiana to find other ways to score.
Definitely a very scary game, but one that Indiana just barely eked out a win. A final possession stop was needed. Malik Renew with a block at the very end after Morehead State, one of their top players, goes off for 30 points. That's kind of been a struggle this year, kind of guys that you don't necessarily expect to beat you end up, you know, dropping a pretty big point total. It's been a common theme so far, but we're kind of here to look over the non-conference schedule as a whole. We can kind of gloss over one game or another, but Indiana obviously looked much better in a variety of facets against North Alabama, and you would hope that's what translates over. Ben, we talked about at the beginning of the year, the non-conference schedule, definitely not as strong as it necessarily was last year. And it kind of panned out exactly to what we thought. UConn's a really solid team in the Big East, even though they've already dropped a game in conference play already. Louisville is not very good. Once again, Kenny Payne being asked many questions. People don't think he may even survive to the end of this season. And the other big games, Auburn is a team that kind of right where we expected it would be a solid team in the SEC. But the overall, kind of non-conference schedule is basically what we thought it was, in my opinion. Kind of, is there anything glaring that we're missing to take away from this non-con, especially those top tier teams?
Well, anyone who's been watching our previous episodes knows I've been trying my hardest to hype up that Louisville win a little bit and make it mean a little something, but Louisville just keeps getting worse and worse each week. And I don't know, it's like you don't expect them to do anything worse the next week. And then there's something in the media where Kenny Payne's talking, some of the quotes that he's had this year. And I don't know whether their play on the court is worse or his quotes are worse, but Louisville did say they're riding with them the rest of the season, so that's going to be interesting to see in the offseason. Other than that, the only concerning thing to me, most years, especially in the past, you wipe away the games where you have your lowest point differential and margin of victory is not where you think it should be. With the way the committee uses the net and the way the net is set up, a lot of it depends on margin of victory. I mean, that definitely plays a factor, and that's a negative thing for Indiana right now, just not being able to get sizable victories over. There's a difference between a 1 point win against a team like Morehead State, who's about 140, 150 in KenPom in the net, and only getting a 6 or 8 point win over Army, who's all the way down to the 330s, I think they are right now. Florida Gulf Coast is falling, aren't as high as we expected them to be. So I think the margin of victory in years past before the net, before the committee was set up this way, I don't think it was as big of a deal as it is now.
I think in the past, I know Indiana for a variety of years now has kind of, always talked about being on the bubble, the bracketology. I know it's still way too early, still in 2023, too early to think about March, but Indiana kind of right there right now, I know, is the only 2-0 team, the Hoosiers, kind of the automatic qualifier, which I know some people have kind of looked over, and some have completely forgotten that, oh, Indiana's kind of automatically in everyone's field right now because they are on top of the Big Ten, even though the projections would tell you they're not going to be on top at the very end. But these are the metrics I think in the past we can kind of forget about or just not worry about because, oh, a Big Ten team, they should have enough. The Big Ten schedule should kind of carry them. It kind of depends on the number of wins. But this year it's not the case. And you mentioned kind of the metrics, the lack of 3-point shooting. I know that changed against North Alabama when they made what, like 12 threes, the most since they played that same team a few years before in the final years when Archie Miller was still the head coach. But these games are going to follow Indiana until Selection Sunday, and I think that's what made the Kansas game that much more kind of, I don't want to say heartbreaking because it wasn't necessarily a heartbreaking loss. There wasn't a dagger three or anything like that. But just the way Indiana lost that game, they didn't necessarily fall apart, but they dealt with foul trouble the way Trey Galloway played in that game with over 30 points, a career high, fouling out, and just the way Indiana kind of just, I don't want to say collapsed down the stretch, but just couldn't hold it together. And I know that the calls necessarily maybe didn't go their way. I think that one missed free throw, I think on the front half of the 1-1 where Ware had the rebound, the ball, supposedly bounces out of bounds, does it? He saves it. The replay, of course, did not favor Indiana and stayed in the Jayhawks' favor. But I think that's a game that really Indiana's gonna look back on, no matter what happens in March, if Indiana's on the right side or the wrong side of the bracket, because this is a team that could end up again in the first four like they were 2 years ago. And the metrics are certainly going to say that it's not going to favor IU. And the way that Indiana has been going, they're going to really need to prove something in Big Ten play. And the Big Ten, obviously gives you a tough night, a tough game, no matter who you play. But I think the Hoosiers really, I think they need 12 or 13 wins to really feel good going into the Big Ten tournament. And they're going to, at least probably, maybe, they're going to have to play Thursday. I don't think they're good enough to get that double bye and be able to play Friday in Minneapolis, but they're going to really need to prove something. And the schedule is weak again that the Hoosiers have this year, the one they had last year. God, if they took that again, they'd have chances night in and night out to prove to the committee that they're good enough to make the field. I know it's still very early, but I think just the non-conference schedule says that Indiana has some work to do in a weak conference schedule. They have to prove something. And kind of we said at the beginning of the year, 10, 11 wins is where they'd be in the Big Ten. But right now, it kind of feels like, well, they got to really up that to 12, 13 because Michigan State is nowhere where we think. Obviously, Illinois, the news just came down when we're recording this, but the TJ Shannon is suspended indefinitely. We know Purdue's still going to be at the top, but Northwestern, they beat Purdue, and then what do you know? They lose to Chicago State, Big Ten's finest, you know, one of the first teams in the conference. So there's a lot of unknowns, and I think that's what makes the Kansas loss a lot worse. And I think Indiana has plenty of work to do, assuming they take care of business tonight against Kennesaw State. But Ben, it kind of feels like they need to hit 12, 13 wins in order to feel good in March.
It's interesting because I just don't know what the committee is going to do. I mean, we talked about the Big Ten being so weak, and that can go both ways, really, in terms of, well, you say the Big Ten's not going to be in an 8 or 9 or 10 bid league like it usually is, but there's so many winnable games in the Big Ten schedule for Indiana, and you get to that 5th place, 6th place spot, no matter how tough the Big Ten is, which is a very attainable spot for Indiana and place in the standing. I just find it really hard for the committee to keep them out. Once again, it's way too early to be talking about this. The reason we are talking about it is just because how I have no idea what's going to happen. And it's more interesting and more strange, more random really than it ever has been. You talk about you don't think they're going to get that double bye, but the news of Terrence Shannon now, you know, Michigan State's playing better. I don't see three or four teams that I think are absolutely without a shadow of a doubt going to finish better than Indiana right now. I'm not saying they're going to get that double bye, but I'm not saying it's outside of the realm of possibilities. I think it's just so interesting right now because of the unknowns and what the committee is going to do with the Big Ten this year.
Very, very strange. And you kind of talk about the double bye and such. With the Hoosiers, who, you know, they're, you know, picked what, fifth, sixth, I think, in the media and the coaches. One was fifth and the other was sixth. So they're kind of right there. And the conference necessarily hasn't told us yet that maybe IU has what it takes to do that and to get there. But I just think the way they lost the game to Auburn, and they played great for 8 minutes and then got completely smacked for the remainder of that game. UConn, they played well for half an hour, but dealt with foul trouble. I think foul trouble is going to be a big thing that kind of sees whether or not Indiana can compete, because even Trey Galloway, as I said, in the Kansas game, he ended up fouling out. And, you know, the big question I think remains, and people said this after North Alabama, where's Xavier Johnson? When is he going to be back? And Mike Woodson joked the other day with him, or someone said on some broadcast that, yeah, Xavier Johnson's been saying he's been ready for a long time. But, you know, Woodson obviously, and I guess the medical staff clearly disagrees, because if he's been ready for weeks, then he hasn't been out on the floor. I think the question is kind of how long is he going to be out for? Last year, you know, at first it kind of felt like when he went down after that Kansas game in Lawrence, it felt like, okay, he's done. There's no way he's coming back. And then as February hit, we saw Race Thompson come back earlier than expected. Okay, maybe there's the glimmer of hope that he can come back, and it just never happened. And then what, like the second to last game, or even the last game of the regular season, is like, okay, he's not coming back. That was confirmed. So it's kind of the same thing here. And Xavier Johnson, he's one of Indiana's best perimeter shooters. I know he does not have the cleanest jump shot by any means, by the looks of it, but the numbers have proved that in the past he can take threes, he can make them, he can get to the lane, and he can even take a mid-range shot, as we saw earlier in the season. So I think that that's the biggest thing. And Indiana's ceiling, I think, is nowhere near as high as it is without him. And I know there are people that say, oh, this team is better without Xavier Johnson because of what happened with Hood Schifino last year and how he blossomed after X went down. But this team is just much, much different. They just don't have the shooting, especially the three-point shooting. You're not going to play North Alabama every night not being able to, you know, make double-digit threes. So I think that's the biggest question we still have going in. What is his health, and kind of how soon I mean, are we even at the if point, if he's going to come back? That's for me the biggest question.
Defensively, teams against Indiana are putting so much pressure down low, and not only on the post players, but putting a lot of attention on those post passes. And I think one of the problems we've seen in the last few games has been a huge issue, not a glaring issue, but I think it's something that lingered in the Morehead State game especially. Indiana's kind of running out of creative ways to get the ball in the post. Other teams are starting to figure out what Indiana wants to do, starting to figure out the offense. And I think Xavier Johnson is a really key to changing that and just being able to open up more things offensively. And you're right, he can shoot the three a little bit. That's what Indiana needs. Gabe Cupps hasn't really shown the confidence to knock him down, whether he can or can't. Trey Galloway hasn't really been consistent with it. Not to say Xavier Johnson's going to be insanely consistent with him, but just another option and another possibility of finding some production beyond the arc for Indiana is something that they really need right now. This season, though, it's going to come down to Khalil Ware and Malik Renu and their ability to score down low. They're going to get a lot of double teams. They're going to get some athletic bigs in the Big Ten, and it's going to be somewhat of a wake-up call because of the teams that Indiana's been playing recently. They've played some tough bigs. They've played Donovan Clingan. They've played Jahni Broome from Auburn. They played Hunter Dickinson, obviously. But you get that little break where you're playing some non-conference games. You know, you start to work it up with Nebraska, Minnesota, and Rutgers after that. It's going to be a different test for those bigs to be able to score down low. Smarter coaches in the Big Ten as well, so different strategies. So that's going to be one of the biggest things moving forward.
People always talked about, oh, change the starting five. I think everyone has called for Mike Woodson to sometimes make changes. And especially, I think in-game management is something that people will probably knock him for. And considering the way Indiana lost the big games, and even in those games, the big men Clingan, I think, was well below his season average at that point. Sure, you kind of blown out three teams beforehand, but even where his season average is right now, I think he was below that when he played IU. Broome from Auburn was held to like 4 points. He was irrelevant in that game. And so the big men Indiana have done well against this year, even in the big matchups, but it's been the guard play that Indiana has just been lacking. And if it wasn't without Anthony Walker, then Indiana definitely loses that game against who was it, Morehead State. Maybe if it's without CJ Gunn, Indiana loses to Michigan on the road, which would have definitely gone down as a rough loss considering the way the rest of the few games after that transpired. And other than that, kind of just the guard play is the biggest question mark right now. And without Xavier Johnson, there are a lot of questions surrounding this team and whether this team can live up to expectations. For me, it's been the way they've lost these games. I don't care how you lose a game, but if you lose it by 20 plus points and you're out of it, and that's a bad loss. And if Indiana right now, I mean, their point differential, it feels like, are they in the negatives as a 9-3, team? It feels like they've given up more points than they have scored this year because of the way they've lost their games. They lost by 20 to UConn, 28 or something it was. It was over 25 to Auburn. The loss to Kansas sure was close, but I mean, they've really only beaten one team in North Alabama pretty well. So the fact that, and sure, they beat Maryland by double digits. So, but they're close in terms of the total point differential. And that's something I look at because this is an Indiana team we've seen in the past. They're not going to blow a ton of teams out, but on a bad night, Indiana can really get their doors blown off. And I think that's just because of the guard play and because the lack of depth at that position right now. So still a lot of questions, but here we are kind of in the middle of the season, not quite, but basically as non-conference play comes to an end and we can turn the page officially to 2024 and Big Ten play. Let's do some mid-season grades. I know we're kind of stealing from, maybe not stealing, but borrowing from our friends over at the Hum when we did that preview episode when Kansas and IU played a few weeks ago at Assembly Hall. I guess let's just start, I guess, with the starting five. Xavier Johnson, I don't even know if we can give out a grade considering he barely played. I think we just kind of give him a, I don't know, a passing grade. I don't know. If this is pass fail, then he just, he's excused. We'll give him an excused absence. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, before he got hurt, it wasn't really his best work, but that's going to happen at the start of season. And you're kind of taking on a new role for the first time, Xavier Johnson. Beginning of the season, a lot of people expected him to be the leading scorer for this Indiana team and to take on a lot of the scoring role. When you're in a new role, it's going to take some time. And he didn't really get enough time to develop into that before he got hurt.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so if we're giving Xavier Johnson a pass here, then the next guy, I guess, in the starting five would be the other veteran on this team, Trey Galloway. Really the start, he had great 3-point numbers last year. This year it's just not been the case. He had that one really good game against Kansas, but since then, really, he hasn't been great, if we're being quite honest. Only 8 points against North Alabama. Sure, that game they really didn't need him, but 14 points, it was big down the stretch, sure, against Morehead State to secure that win. But if we're giving him a letter grade, ooh, I don't know if we can be too nice here. I'm giving him a C. I think he was in the D range before the Kansas game, but he has really kind of, I think, proved himself that he has that 3-point scoring touch, has really struggled from downtown this year. Just really hasn't found his game necessarily on both sides of the ball. Indiana has struggled with ball screens. I know Galloway is a guy who get on the floor at all times and grab that loose ball, but for me, I'm giving him a C. He hasn't been where they have needed him this year. He stepped up last year when Xavier Johnson went down, but it's just not been the case this year. And with a guy next to him and Gabe Cupps, we'll get to in a second, but he's a freshman and he has not found his stroke yet necessarily shooting the ball. He has not taken that many shots as of late, and sure, he knocked down a three against North Alabama. Practically the entire team did at that point. So for me, Trey Galloway has needed to step up. It hasn't been that way. So I think he's kind of earned his way up to a C, but he's still got work to do if Indiana wants to, meet expectations this year.
Yeah, for the first one, I'm going to go in a different direction. I just don't know what a lot of people expected from him this year. I mean, coming up there, you knew he was going to be a starter, but you could make an argument that he could be expected to be the fifth leading scorer in out of that starting lineup because you have guys like you expect Mackenzie Ibaka to be able to score a lot, Xavier Johnson, like we talked about, and then Renu and Ware can score the ball. And he's with the injury of Xavier Johnson and with Mackenzie Ibaka getting off that slower start, he's been able to fill a decent amount of that role. I mean, he's averaging double figures. I don't know if I really expected that from him this season or really at any point in his career. I'm going to give Galloway a B plus just because of the expectations coming into the year. I mean, they're going to need him to be a guy that can play defense and that can knock down a three when he needs to and can run the offense. And that's something I think he's done at a decent clip. I mean, the three-point percentage isn't great for him. I think there's going to be more regression to the mean as he gets more attempts later on the season. We saw shot over 40% from three last year, so I expect that to come up. But the 3-point percentage is the only thing that has really worried me about him this year. He's been the leading scorer in multiple games for Indiana, and he had that great game against Kansas. I'm giving him a B plus.
Yeah, I think the another thing you could say is the minutes he has played. I know Indiana not being able to win the non-conference games by the margin they did. He's averaging right around 33 minutes a game, so he's played a ton, so that definitely can factor in as well. But averaging right around 11 points, shooting over 50% from the free throw, just rather, but his free throw percentage has not been great either. Just 51% shooting right around 50, and 9 for 34 from downtown. That's under 27%. So we'll differ opinions. We can see how far away from the on the spectrum we can go here for these guys. I guess if we go next by the order in which these guys are announced, let's go with the freshman Mackenzie Mbaka. What are you giving them?
Mbaka this year, I think, is in kind of a different spot than Galloway. Once again, I've said this a lot on this podcast. With Jalen Huccefino just gave Indiana fans set their hopes up so high for five-star freshmen and what they're going to be able to do. I give Mbaka a B. I don't think he's done anything spectacular to what people have expected, but I think I really like how he reacted to the rough start. He kept shooting. It didn't mess with his confidence at all. And he's kind of found it about seven or eight games into the season. And he's now a critical part of that Indiana offense. And once again, the confidence he has shooting is going to be big going into the Big Ten play. So I'll give him a B.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably go lower than a B, considering maybe the expectations he had, obviously decommitting from Duke, choosing IU over Kansas. That was such a big deal and such a big name that Indiana really needed in a transfer portal. And you had to give him some time, averaging right around 23 minutes this year. He shot 44 threes this year. Right around half of his shots have been from beyond the arc. Sure, only 10 of them have gone in, but the confidence is such a big factor, and he's been great at the free throw line as well. He only missed two, and his first miss, I want to say, came against Kansas, averaging right around 10 points. Yeah, B minus, I think, is fair here. Got to give him some time. He's starting to pick it up definitely quite a bit on both ends of the ball, and the fact that, in the crunch time of the games at the beginning of the year in non-conference play, he was barely playing. I mean, you would only get a handful of minutes to start each half, and then kind of would just find his way on the bench and wouldn't see that much action. So I think the fact that his minutes have gone up has proved something to me that Mike Woodson definitely trusts him and has him going forward in the right direction. So we're giving him right around in the B range. I definitely think his kind of had to start him off kind of with lower expectations and have him prove it. I missed one funny way, went kind of it went in opposite order. If we're going with another guard, we should have gone with Gabe Cupps first, but let's go to Gabe here. I'll start with Gabe Cupps. We mentioned that he's not someone that was supposed to play that much of a role, supposed to be, the first guy off the bench, kind of turn into someone Trey Galloway was. Take your shots when you need to, but kind of just be a floor general, kind of a game manager in a sense. I know that phrase gets thrown around quite a lot, but he's had to step up. So for me, I'll kind of give him a C, just kind of, and we haven't seen too much of it yet, but defensively, I think he's been very good. He's, got some big rebounds in that Morehead State game. Indiana and Mike Woodson's always talked about the guards needing more rebounds. I think Cupps has been there, but I think shooting wise, he just hasn't found his touch yet. Shooting right around 35%. He's taken 14 threes this year, which is kind of right around where the other guys have been taking it, but he's still kind of figuring the game out a little bit. Definitely an undersized guard. Definitely getting beat sometimes. But for me, I'm just kind of go with a plain C here. It's not that I don't have a better, kind of don't have enough time to think of a letter for him. You just kind of stick a C and give him kind of an average grade. But I still think there's work to do. He just hasn't quite found the shot yet to be anywhere higher than that. And definitely, he's playing more minutes than he expects. So you have to take that into consideration.
I think C's fair. I maybe dock him a little more, maybe to a C minus, just because one of the biggest problems with Indiana's offense right now, in my opinion, is they only have four options to score when Gabe Cupps is on the floor. And in Cupps as a facilitator, he can make some plays, he can make shots for others, but has not shown a ton of confidence shooting the ball. There's been a lot of opportunities for him to shoot where Indiana fans and anyone's screaming at him to do so, and he's just not. And I get it. As a freshman, you don't want to take too many shots. You don't want to take bad shots. You always want to pass up the, good shot for a great shot. But sometimes you're just passing up a good shot for a worse shot. And I think, Gabe Cupps, he had trouble adjusting to the defense. And I know Indiana fans are going to come for my head for this letter ranking and everything. But right now, I just don't think the ceiling for Indiana's offense is too high when Gabe Cupps is leading the charge.
Yeah, that's completely fair, and I think you're not the only one, or we could say for any of the guys that sometimes where the entire team just doesn't take shots, and we saw this even in the past in prior years where this team would kind of want that great shot where sometimes hey, take that three if you step into it like we saw a lot of the guys do against North Alabama, then results are going to turn your way, and I think that was definitely the case. All right, if we finish out the starting five here, Malik Reneau and Khalil Ware, let's start with Malik Reneau. He's been, I think, the biggest surprise for anyone taking that big jump already in his sophomore year, averaging right around 15 points a game. He's taking made nearly 50% of his threes, shooting nearly 60% from the field. He's getting I was gonna say A, but then defensively, he still found himself in foul trouble. I'll go for A minus here. I think Renew was someone he needed to step up. There was last year he kind of hit the freshman wall, as a lot of people like to say, where he showed some promises in the non-conference, and then once Big Ten play started, he really just couldn't find his groove. Was getting out muscled sometimes looked lost offensively, defensively, couldn't keep himself on the floor because he was committing so many fouls. Still dealing with foul trouble at times when he necessarily doesn't need to be, but he's made a huge jump from year one to year two already. He's complimented Khalil Ware really nicely, and Indiana lost so much in the front court, but he has filled in quite nicely. So I'm an optimist here. I'll give Malik Reneau an A minus.
I'm going to go straight A. I mean, this is what Indiana needed. They needed another option. And Malik Reneau has been somewhat of a consistent option, too. And, don't look now, but if he starts shooting the ball like he did against North Alabama or even anywhere close to it, he could be a really good player in the Big Ten and potentially see himself on an all Big Ten team. He's just someone that causes so much attention defensively. And I know on his side defensively, he does need to stay out of foul trouble. That's the only reason he's not an A plus for me. I think he's been such a big part of this Indiana offense and why they've been able to keep up the production they have.
He kind of reminds me of what we said about Race Thompson a few years ago when Indiana made that run to the tournament. Was kind of he shot the three ball really well down the stretch, and that was big for IU, just having someone else to stretch the floor. And if Renew can do that, and we can see Ware do that too, we'll get to Ware in a second. But if either one of those guys can at least force the defenders to come up on the perimeter, that I think creates a bit more space down low, allow someone to cut to the basket and potentially get an easier shot. So I think he's someone we want to see shoot the three ball a little bit more, especially if it's going in. We've seen at the beginning of the games, I think against UConn, he took one. Auburn definitely took a few. I mean, he's not afraid to shoot the three-pointer early in the game and give himself confidence. So right around the A range for both of us. Finish out the starting five, Ben, with Khalil Ware, the Oregon transfer.
A plus. You talk about what Indiana needed, Malik Renu. They needed even more Khalil Ware and that guy to step up, especially with Xavier Johnson going out with that injury. If you would have told me at the start of the year that Xavier Johnson would be down for this long a period of a time, I would have thought Indiana would be in way worse shape because I didn't really know where their production would be coming from offensively. So it's an A plus for me. He's been their leading scorer. He's been really good defensively, alters so many different shots. And yeah, I don't have a lot of complaints for Ware.
Yeah, A plus. I was kind of thinking, oh, where can I dock Khalil Ware? But in the big games, he stepped up, gotten his fair share of points. He's limited the other centers, as we've mentioned. Down the stretch, I think fatigue may have played a factor against Kansas. You could probably say that for the entire team. Hunter Dickinson had some huge buckets down the stretch. I don't think you can necessarily dock Khalil Ware for that. But yeah, A plus. I don't think many of us expected Khalil Ware to make that jump immediately, and he's right now back, not necessarily in the lottery for the draft boards where he was when he first came to Oregon, but he's definitely back there and a guy who's projected to not be in Bloomington next year and to be at the NBA draft. So that's kind of the starting five with Xavier Johnson getting a pass. We could do bench as a whole if you want to. We could do individually guys on the bench. Or where do you want to go from here?
I think there's four guys we need to do on the bench. And I'm going to get one out of the way really quick. And I'm just going to say Peyton Sparks is a D right now. I've just been disappointed in what I've seen. We did the buy sell at the beginning of the year, and he was an easy buy for me just because he didn't need to do a ton. He needed to be that guy that gives Khalil Ware or Malik Renu a break and just plays solid defense and can rebound. And that's not what he's done. He's taken away a lot of offensive possessions for Indiana on bad shots, on bad drives, on turnovers. I've been disappointing in Sparks so far.
Yeah, D minus. I just the physicality. He's such a big guy and could have played a big factor off the bench. But Mike Woodson's a guy we've seen in the past. He doesn't necessarily rely on his bigs a lot, and so kind of saw that last year with Renu didn't get the minutes he necessarily expected. And Sparks has really just not been that guy. He struggled. Some of the shot selection you mentioned has been poor. His free throws when he does get to the line is poor as well. So there's really nowhere else you can go other than barely just skating away from an F for Peyton Sparks.
Next, if we want to go Anthony Walker, who I think we can agree has been the best off the bench, I'll give him A minus. I think bench depth has been a problem for Indiana in the past, and coming into this year, I thought it was also one of the things that was going to be an area of concern. And I think Anthony Walker has provided a lot offensively off the bench. He just plays really solid on defense, doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes there, but he's got a rare ability to, with that length, get to the basket and also could shoot a little bit. We saw that three he hit against Morehead State, I think it was, when he hit his first three of the year. If he can get that 3-point shot going, he can be really big.
Walker saved that game against Morehead State. I just think I don't necessarily know what his role is. He's not quite a guard, obviously, he's listed as a forward, but kind of in between. Lanky. I don't want to compare him to Jordan Geronimo last year. I know I've been making a lot of comparisons this year just because it's easy to compare guys because Mike Woodson is still and only in year three for him. But I just think he's athletic. He can do well on the glass. He's made some big rebounds. I still think a B is appropriate for him. I don't know if he's necessarily found his role yet, but he's just sometimes he can't necessarily be on the floor and Ware is there because of the amount of space he can take. He's not, I don't think, great dribbling the basketball at times. And that spin move of his is really going to get gobbled up, I think, in Big Ten play. So I worry that he doesn't quite have enough in his bag of tricks. So I'll give him a B, but I mean, by far, you mentioned he's been Indiana's best player. Let's go to someone else, maybe taking a jump. We'll go CJ Gunn next, another sophomore. I can start here. The game against Michigan, obviously is the one that sticks out in, I think, all of our minds, the way he played with the four steals, I want to say. I really helped Indiana hold on to that win in Ann Arbor down the stretch. Shooting the ball, it was a real struggle for him last year, especially from three-point land. He's made 3 three-pointers already. That's more than he made last year, but shooting it at just 31%, averaging 3 points a game. For me, it's kind of a C, C minus. I'll say C here for CJ Gunn. Defensively, he's been much better. He's taken that jump, but offensively, Indiana has needed someone off the bench, needed another guard to step up. It has certainly not been Gabe Cupps, and CJ Gunn really hasn't provided too much off the bench as well as one of the Indiana's true guards off the bench. So I'll give CJ a C here, but he's definitely showing improvements. Last year, I mean, if we did these grades, he'd be probably getting an F if we were honest, because he really didn't give Indiana too much with the shot selection, but he's showing more confidence, in my opinion. I think he can blossom into a better player in the second half.
Ledoux can defend pretty well. He needed to be able to hit that 3-point shot, though. When he has, as of late, started to figure it out, I'll give him a C plus because of it. Like you said, I don't think he adds a ton. I mean, it's nothing really that sways you one way or the other. Doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, though. I mean, there's not a lot to fault him for, other than the fact that there's just not a ton added when he's on the court. He can shoot the ball a little bit, though, and he plays good defense. An improvement from last year. That's why I'm in that C plus, B minus range.
The final one here, I think, if we're all counting in our heads, that's three down, one to go. The last one being Caleb Banks, another sophomore. Kind of everyone talked about Banks, gun one, if not both those guys needed to step up. It's not been the case that year for Caleb Banks. He has plenty of work to do in the second half, averaging right around 13 minutes, averaging just 3 points a game. A struggle from the free throw line, has struggled really in all departments defensively, has looked lost sometimes as well. He's in the D minus range for me, Ben. He's not been there. His shot selection hasn't been there. Defensively, there were times last year where he made an impact, but you know, he's just tall and lanky. He's got to put on some more weight, I think. And he's kind of that 4 year guy who Mike Woodson really has to transform. And there are times where Woodson is hesitant to put Caleb Banks in, even when other guys are in foul trouble. So for me, Caleb Banks been the biggest disappointment. I mean, he's D minus, bordering F, if you're asking me.
Yeah, he's a D. I think you just too many times watching games and just asking myself, what is Caleb Banks on the floor to do other than give other guys a rest and give people out of foul trouble, just give Indiana some minutes. I mean, offensively, he had a couple of threes to start the season. He had a couple of nice post moves, but he showed he couldn't even do that against some of the better non-conference bye games that Indiana had. He's not going to be able to do any of that in Big Ten play. I don't have a lot of top confidence in Caleb Banks just because, once again, I can't point at what his specialty is or what the main purpose he's on the floor to do is. You know, he plays solid defense. He can guard. He's pretty versatile guarding wise. He can guard a bigger guard or he can guard a smaller big. But you know, offensively overall, he just doesn't really add anything for me. I go the D.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps up the main guys. Anthony Leo's the other guy's seen minutes, but you know, hey, he had a nice impact against North Alabama, knocking down a three. I think to everyone in Bloomington, of course, loves Anthony Leo. I know his story was kind of a recirculating of how he, you know, paid off his sister's student loan debt. So of course, he's a great guy as well, both on and off the court. Let's quickly do some New Year's resolutions. Maybe we can do one each. So you know, everyone's if you want to pick one guy and something you want to see them do more or less of, let me hear it. You got an idea for if you're someone in a New Year's resolution we want to see in 2024?
Well, first of all, I saw the Hoosier Project making a joke about you getting NIL for beating Sidney Parrish in the knockout game in class. So I was wondering if you could pay for my student debts with your NIL money.
Not quite. Hit me up in March again, maybe when the season's over, and we'll see if anything changes.
All right. A New Year's resolution for me, one of the biggest things is get Xavier Johnson healthy. I mean, I know that sounds like such a cop-out answer, but the offense is so limited with Xavier Johnson out, not only getting the ball in the post, but being able to shoot a little bit more and just being more spread out and having five scoring options on the floor. With the starting lineup with Xavier Johnson instead of Gabe Cupps, you're looking at probably Mackenzie Ibaka or Trey Galloway being your least scoring, lesser scoring threat, and I think that's going to be something big in depth wise.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. I think that's Indiana's biggest question going into the new year is kind of what's his health look like and how does Indiana's potential change with or without him. Obviously, we heard that Ja'Kai Newton most likely out for the year. Not that he was expected to make it to bring in a huge role or play a big role, I should say, or anything like that. But if he's not going to play, then Indiana's guard depth really is being tested right now. That without Xavier Johnson, it's Galloway, Gunn, and Cupps, and other than that, it's kind of slim pickings. And when Anthony Leo's going to need to play minutes. He's going to have to. For me, it's more threes. I know this is not necessarily a person, a specific person, but I think it's just as a team, be more confident when taking threes. Don't be afraid to, you know, pass up a, you know, we say good shot for a great shot. Step into a three. We saw that a lot, I think, with a lot of guys. It's all about balance. Just making sure you get the right shot. Maybe necessarily not even thinking about it all too much. If you just go out there, fire away from downtown. Indiana is, they're going to beat a lot of teams in the paint. And that means you don't have to, you know, fire every shot, every, you know, possible open shot from three if you don't want to. But just more times we need to see Indiana shoot the three more. I mean, Indiana made 12 of them against North Alabama. I mean, they've only been averaging, what is it, like 16, 7? I mean, even less than that sometimes, even in like the 10, 15 range in certain games. That's not enough. That needs to be closer at a 15 to 20. And I think as time goes along, Indiana will be much better shooting the ball from downtown. So for me, it's more three pointers. All right, so with the letter grades out of the way, there's one more non-conference game tonight. Indiana takes on Kennesaw State. The Owls return to Bloomington for the second year in a row. Hoosiers hoping that the game last year, I know the final score was 69-55, but that was a close game where Kennesaw State even led. That was the last game of the non-conference schedule in 2022. Indiana was without Trace Jackson Davis. If you remember correctly, that was the game where Tamar Bates had one of his best games in a Hoosier uniform off the bench in that one. That game was tied 27-27 and a half. That was during that whole snowstorm. Crazy game last year right before Christmas, but now the team's meeting between Christmas and New Year's. Ben, we're looking over at Kennesaw State so far here in 2023. 9-4, they're a very offensive-heavy team, averaging right around 85 points a game. They take a ton of threes, aren't necessarily great, shooting right around 30% from beyond the arc. But other than that, anything that kind of sticks out at you? This is a new team definitely from last year. Not a lot of returning players.
I think it's important for Indiana fans to not, get bogged down and think of them as the same team as last year. Obviously, the team that made it close with Indiana and almost upset the three seed Xavier last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Like you said, they're a team that's kind of the opposite of Indiana. They make a lot of threes, but that's because they take a lot of threes. Attempting on average over 30 three-point attempts per game. They make around nine a game. That's 27 points. Just from beyond the arc, they're going to shoot a lot. I mean, they're so fast-paced offense. That's how they get so many shots off, and they don't turn the ball over very well. Not a ton of height. Should be easy for Indiana to score down low, but it's one of those games where if Kennesaw State gets hot, it could be close. But I think Indiana's learned their lesson, not only from some of the closer games against in bye games this year, but also from playing Kennesaw State last year. I think they'll be ready to go.
It'll be 8 days. Indiana played last Thursday against North Alabama. So, of course, the guys got to go home, celebrate some time with the family. So, maybe this is a game you don't expect Indiana to necessarily be on their A game. And it was definitely that way last year. And even without Trace Jackson Davis, I think people were surprised that Kennesaw State was able to pose such a threat. I think that was a team at that point we didn't expect to be as good. And what do you know? They ended up in the NCAA tournament in the end. Maybe not the same expectations this go around, but it's going to be important for Indiana to come out. And get off to a good start and trying to play a lot more like North Alabama and not give the Hoosier faithful a scare like it was against Morehead State. That was more of a scare. That was almost a nightmare that the fans who paid and watched over the holiday break got to see. And I know we're all hoping that Indiana takes care of business in the final game of the 2023-24 non-conference schedule. Hoosiers right now 9-3, 2-0 in the Big Ten, so 7-3 in conference play. That's where we kind of expected Indiana to be, and we figured in the big games they probably would win one or two. They got one in Louisville. I guess it technically is a big game because of the setting where it was, the Big Apple, but obviously Louisville, not definitely more, I think, closer to a mid-major than they are to a high major, by the way they've played at this point the last few years. But important for Indiana to avoid a loss. They lose this game tonight, then Ben, this is a loss that would follow them all the way to Selection Sunday, and Indiana desperately cannot afford that. Considering what we've mentioned, the way the rest of the schedule pans out, and potentially the lack of a solid conference schedule, and as well as non-conference schedule, I think much weaker than anticipated at first with Florida Gulf Coast, as we mentioned, underperforming other teams. But everything changes once conference play hits, and of course you're rooting for some of these teams. So Indiana's resume, which is not great right now, if this team is not at the top of the Big Ten standings at 2-0, they probably wouldn't even be in the field. So I think that's where some things maybe are kind of missed. Maybe there's some missed signals with Indiana being in the field, but it's still way too early. This is a game Indiana has to win, though. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I think Indiana's biggest win per se on the resume right now is the fact that they don't have any bad losses. And you carry that into Selection Sunday, you play in the Big Ten, usually it could be enough. But right now, they can't afford a loss like this to Kennesaw State because then after that, there's nothing really that stands out on the resume of Indiana.
No, you don't have to go to, a place like Michigan State this year. You go to Illinois, big game, obviously. You go to Purdue, as it has in years past. You go to Wisconsin. There's kind of that three-game stretch in the middle of January. Kind of in the middle and then towards the end where Indiana can pick up some big wins. That of course includes potentially a number one Purdue team. Of course, Indiana's gotten the better of the Boilermakers of the last 2 years. at Assembly Hall after that long losing streak. But you kind of look ahead, there's not that team that you're able to play, twice other than Purdue, that you can really give yourself a solid shot at to knock off and to really boost your resume. But everything changes as conference play rolls around, and we're excited to bring you all the content here on the House of Hoosiers. So wrapping things up here in 2023. We'll be back next week. Indiana plays a Wednesday at Nebraska. We'll probably have an episode before that. Maybe bring on a guest to talk about the Big Ten as a whole, why the conference is struggling, and maybe on pace to struggle once again in the regular season, and potentially not even get, maybe only get a handful of teams in to the NCAA tournament when March rolls around. But for one final time, Ben, in 2023, any final thoughts?
But one of my biggest thoughts I'd say is just calm down to a lot of Indiana fans overreacting to some of the close losses and some of the or the close wins and some of the bad losses. I talked about how margin of victory matters a little bit when it comes to net, but still Indiana's at a really good spot right now. They've played what the 10 non-conference games plus it's so they're 12 games right now, so they're sitting at 9-3 going into big to the rest of Big Ten play. It's going to be a tough Big Ten as it always is, but should be a fun, should be an exciting season, and I think one where Indiana fans just calm down a little bit on some of the results.
Obviously, it's easy to look ahead, but after this Kennesaw State game tonight, obviously get your Big Ten Plus subscription to watch the Hoosiers. And the IU alumni calling that game are our folks that we know, Galen, Austin Render, Trisha Whitaker. Well, I'm excited to watch that broadcast on a Friday night. But obviously after that, you look at the first four games. I know it's easy to look ahead, but if we kind of look things into chunks of the Big Ten season, those first four games, Nebraska, a team that historically has not been very good the last few years, but they're good this year. That's a game at Pinnacle Bank, which will be crucial. First game after the new year, you get Minnesota at home, you go to Rutgers, and then there's another game I'm missing. Help me out here. What's that fourth game? There's four very winnable games to start. Ohio State at home on January the 6th. That's after Nebraska. So Nebraska, Ohio State at home at Rutgers, and then versus Minnesota. Those are, four games Indiana could win, and suddenly you're 6-0 potentially in conference play. So I think those four games will tell us a lot about this team. But for one final time, signing off here on the House of Hoosier, make sure to follow us over on Twitter at the House underscore Hoosier. That's where we'll be posting all of these, at least when these all get tweeted out and hopefully picked up by the Field of 68 account. But obviously go subscribe to us on YouTube. You can follow our podcast over on Apple or Spotify, whichever you choose. And be sure to obviously follow us, keep up with us as the content rolls around. I'll have a lot more big things planned in 2024. But for one final time here in 2023, Happy New Year from myself, Austin Platt, alongside Ben Holler, signing off here on the House of Hoosier.